Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Player Profiler and our podcast network is super resource intensive, and we rely on premium subscriptions to the website playerprofiler.com to keep the engine running. Go there, sign up for our player rankings, Dynasty Deluxe, DFS package, or go all in. Those that subscribe are everything to us.
Welcome back to First Class Fantasy. I'm Theo Greminger. I'm joined as always by Billy Muzio. And today we have an awesome guest, my friend and sometimes co-manager, Nelson Sousa. Nelson and I split a team in the NFFC for the NFFC New York Super. We've done it for a couple years. This year we're getting them, Nelson. Last year was unlucky. We've had some unfortunate injuries, but we're going to put together a monster this year. And if you do not know Nelson, Nelson is legitimately one of the top, you know, handful of drafters in the country. I think that it's very difficult to make a list of the best high stakes minds without including Nelson. The biggest compliment I can give you, Nelson, is that you're an influencer among some of the players with the most skin in the game. If there's a player that Nelson is big on or a player that Nelson is not drafting, big time high stakes players will realize that over a summer. And I think that that's probably the biggest compliment I can give anybody that's come on this show, is that you influence some of the best drafters in the country. We're so thrilled to have you on today. June 1st is like the official start to this thing of ours, guys. So Nelson, welcome to First Class Fantasy. We're really, really thrilled to have you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Glad to be on. Excited to start getting into football. I actually started my football research just a little bit later than usual. Just been busy with family and stuff.
So Nelson's not only a high volume, high stakes player with a ton of success. And just to give you a few of his accolades, Nelson, along with Dave Hubbard, has won the FFPC main event. Nelson has taken down the NFFC Platinum twice, right? Correct. Two times, right, Nelson? Which that is a $20,000 entry league. So that's not, you know, not chicken scratch, everybody. That's a legit league. Okay. Last year, Nelson was the primetime runner-up in the NFFC and would have shipped it if a few things would have happened schedule-wise. We'll leave it at that. We don't need to delve into what happened at the end of last year. But Nelson is not only a high stakes player, but Nelson, you're also a content contributor, do some great, great things over at FTN. Why don't you let everybody know what you have on tap article-wise, podcast-wise this summer?
Yeah, I'm back with FTN, and it's, you know, business as usual. I run the high stakes fantasy football content there, and I have like a coaching package that people can sign up for, and it gives access to me, you know, 24/7. So throughout the draft season, I'm putting out whether it's, you know, draft streams or content with like draft boards, talking about team construction, things like that. And then during the season, it's just, you know, 24/7 talking about fab, waiver wire, you know, player pickups, setting lineups, trade talk, you know, what's a good trade, what's a bad trade, stuff like that. So it was pretty successful last year, the last couple of years, and, you know, we're continuing on this year.
Yeah, it's tremendous stuff that you put out. It's very, you've had a lot of tremendous hits over the years. I think that the thing that you're most well known for in the industry is the fades list. It's, you basically have a different kind of system for drafting with your fades list. Why don't you kind of share with everybody kind of what that thing is?
Sure. So my fade list, you know, as far as when you compare it to others that are out there, I'm not picking guys that are going after, you know, the 10th round. Because I feel like if a guy busts, it's expected almost at that point in the draft, because your hit rate as the draft goes on becomes less and less. So my thing is more about the guys that could hurt you in your draft structure in the first, you know, the first few rounds. So those are the guys that I try to pinpoint and figure out, you know, which guys don't belong, which guys are just, you know, full out fades, which guys are fades based on ADP. But, you know, my process is basically, you know, the first thing I start off with is any player that was a waiver wire pickup the year before and is going, you know, typically in the top five rounds, you know, this year, they're a fade for me. And that's worked out for me through the years. And it's usually because, you know, let's face it, that player just wasn't good enough to draft and didn't have, you know, whether they didn't have high draft capital or weren't talented enough, they weren't on anyone's radar. And then they were picked up the year prior, and now they're just overvalued. And they're going in the top five rounds, and those guys usually kind of sting you the following year.
So the Justin Forsetts, the Mike Davises, those kind of guys, correct?
We're dating back to like Zach Stacy, CJ Anderson. I want to say, who am I thinking? Baltimore running back. Who was the guy a few years ago?
Was that the Forsett year? That was the Forsett year, I think.
Yep.
Maybe it was Forsett. It's not coming to mind right now, but yeah, it's a lot of those guys. The Kansas City guy, Damian Williams, was another guy. The year prior, he was a waiver wire pickup, if you remember, down the stretch, and he helped a lot of teams win in the playoffs. And the following year, he was going like in the second or third round, and he was kind of a nobody, and people were, you know, tripping over themselves to draft the guy. And those are the ones that you have to be able to take a step back, take a deep breath, and realize that, you know, this is, you know, kind of like the, you know, the game What Doesn't Belong when you were a kid, you know, all the different shapes and numbers and things like that and the colors. Well, you know, you have to take a step back and say, okay, what player doesn't belong, you know, in this group of players in this round? So, yeah, so that's part of the process. The other part of the process is just drafting and figuring out ADP and who I think is just overvalued and, you know, is not going to pay off their price tag. And then what this, I've made an adjustment over the years because it's not cookie cutter, but wide receivers changing teams in their first year had typically, if I faded them, that had worked out. The problem is we've had in the last few years, we've had a lot of elite wide receivers, talented wide receivers change teams. And I've figured out that, you know, my process, I needed to make that adjustment that, you know, it doesn't go for elite wide receivers. Those guys like the Stephon Diggs first year in Buffalo. There was a couple of other guys.
It was DeAndre Hopkins that same year.
Hopkins with Arizona, right? Even Davante Adams last year, Tyreek last year.
A.J. Brown last year, yep.
A.J. Brown, you know, it's more of like the lower level talented wide receivers changing teams. And it depends on their ADP. So it's kind of – it's a little bit of a recipe, you know. So like for example, this year you have like Juju Smith-Schuster just changed teams. He's not a fade for me because he's going in like the 10th round. So I don't look at like, he's not a guy that's really going to hurt you if he doesn't work out. I'm looking at guys more like in the first few rounds. Those are the ones that can sting and, you know, screw up your teams.
And Nelson's also rooting for Juju because he's a diehard New England Patriots fan as well. Nelson.
Yeah, 100%. Billy, I got to find a player that I can draft from New England.
You got to find one. There was a couple. Billy, I want to pick your brain on some of your philosophies. But first, let's take a word from our sponsor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oh, baseball season's heating up. It's all about baseball right now. Baseball. Yeah, baseball is the most exploitable of the sports, especially on Rival Fantasy, rivalfantasy.com. Go there now. They have the fantasy book where you can take over under a certain number of fantasy points, and they have challenges where you can take player X or player Y. I get great pleasure out of fading Mike Trout into oblivion. And then don't forget about fantasy bingo, where you can say, okay, I think Acuna's going to steal a base today. I think that Freddie Freeman's going to have two hits based on the matchup. The lefty, righty, and the pitcher quality matchups that you could exploit are unlike any other sport. Go to rivalfantasy.com, use the promo code player. They refund any losses up to $50, and they are a great supporter of Player Profiler. Everything we do, this show in particular, is only possible because of Rival. RivalFantasy.com. The promo code is PLAYER.
So, Billy, I can't think of a better guest to have on today because we referenced the NFFC Super, the New York Super, which is kind of, I think, the biggest draft, NFFC draft on the East Coast. And tonight we have probably the biggest FFPC known draft for the early part of the summer, at least, until we get to Vegas with the hard way. Me and you are competing. Your thoughts on your plan tonight? You're drafting out of the four hole. I'm drafting out of the nine. So we're not next to one another. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the league we're in and kind of maybe react to some of the things Nelson said as well.
Yeah, the hard way draft is the name of the draft, what we're doing tonight. And it's a collective group of analysts and proven high-stakes players that have done well inside of the high-stakes leagues. This kind of lets people plant their flags. You get to see who people are going after. ADP is usually out the window with these drafts. You see people go early. You see people go late. Just depends upon the room and what people are promoting. And it's always fun to draft in these. I have my draft partner, Dave Hubbard, who's a friend of the podcast, will be joining me from the four hole. We have a strategy already in place and are ready to rock and roll. And if there's one player that would be pretty consistent with ADP in that range, if he's not there, then ADP's out the window.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Nelson talked about his fade list. And when you get to, I was just in a Fantasy Pros Championship draft this past weekend. Shout out to our friends at Fantasy Pros for sponsoring that. But it's funny because that was a pretty sharp draft, but this is a really sharp one. And sometimes in these really, really sharp rooms, you'll see guys just drop like a stone. I remember this was last year, Austin R. Martin, a friend of ours, he finally took Derrick Henry at like a disgustingly late time.
Like 45.
Yeah, it was super, super late. So a guy always falls, but it's going to be really, really exciting. I'm at the nine hole, so I'm in between Dwayne McFarlane and Abhi-Bagh Batoba. I told them I'm both going to snipe both their asses all night long. I'm going to take some good ones. So I have a plan as well, but it's a kind of draft where it's good to have a plan, but you need to be able to adjust on the fly. So we're really stoked about that. And I wanted to get back to Nelson's fade list. So Nelson, you know, graciously gave me a target, gave me a fade that we're going to talk about today. You can go and purchase his work, especially if you like what you're hearing here tonight. I highly recommend it. Nelson, one player that it's going to be sad. I'm on Long Island. You're a New York guy. It's a sad one for me to hear that you are fading Breece Hall. Why don't you share kind of your thoughts on why you're fading Breece Hall? Because the guy's going right now, I think as of last night, he's going 30th overall in FFPC, similar range in the NFFC. Why are you fading him? And is this a rule-based fade or is this just a gut feel?
No, this one's a rule-based fade. So any player coming off of ACL type of surgery, I'm always fading the first year back. The production, you know, the stats say that the production is just not there the first year back. I understand that he's an elite type of running back and he's very talented and he's young. So the recovery process should go over well, but I'll give you an example. Last year, J.K. Dobbins was a fade for me, and you saw, you know, he came back, felt like it was a little too early, had some complications, and then he started, you started seeing him kind of go back to his old self late in the year. I like Breece Hall. I think he's a good player, and I think that he will get better as the season goes on, but, you know, third round pick, second round pick, possibly, you know, I'm just out on him this year.
Nelson, is there correlation with the fade here? So if you're out on Breece Hall, are you in on a backup Jets running back or not necessarily?
Yeah, I'm always going to look. I like hedging. Yeah. So I'm looking at a Michael Carter, Zonovan Knight, guys like that towards the end of the draft. If I'm fading a running back for sure. Yeah.
No, I love that. So if you're off of a guy, but by definition, you should be on another guy. I think that's a good way of looking at it. And I will say, Nelson, just from knowing you and the way that you deal with the fade list, I really respect the fact that you're willing to change it. When you drop the fade list this time of year, if a guy's ADP adjusts, or if some news changes, or you have a different kind of feel, that will change. And I think that's great. Billy and I talked about earlier, Billy, the ability to be kind of fluid with your drafting style and not be like dogmatic and not be set in stone. You kind of adhere to that a little bit here, Billy, and also share your thoughts on Breece Hall at ADP.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Nelson, although I think that at times you have to make exceptions because we do have outliers like the Adrian Peterson year, or we have the Jamal Charles years. And so there is exceptions to the rule. It is very unlikely there's an exception to the rule. That being said, we saw some news yesterday that Breece Hall was clocked on Next Gen going 22 miles per hour 8 months post-surgery, and it got my attention. If you would have asked me 3 days ago, I'd probably be more inside Nelson's corner on this discussion. But after seeing that type of speed 8 months removed from surgery, Breece Hall's young enough, talented enough. I think we could possibly have another exception to the rule this year. It's not a running back I want to bet against, especially given how well he performed last year and how efficient he was, especially given the stoutness of the defense. I think that you could argue that the beginning of the season may start off slow for him, which is what I've expected in my projections. But when it matters most, he might be one of the most dynamic backs in the league down the stretch, and they might kill us inside the fantasy championships if we don't own them. So I agree with Nelson 9.9 out of 10 times. This might be that 1% where I say I have to take some shares. It's not a player that I want to beat me, right? There's several players year in and year out. Chris Godwin was one for me last year. I said, I'm going to make the guy beat me. And here we are, 2023. I'm afraid to have Breece Hall not on my roster, at least to own some shares. I'm not going to go out and own 30%, you know, but I might own 20%, 19%. I want to have some ownership just because he is that kind of player that I think could beat me inside the run down the championship.
I will make a small rebuttal. the thing is, the easiest thing for them to do coming off surgery and their recovery is to run in a straight line and even run fast. My issue is more about his lateral agility and quickness and being able to plant and cut and go upfield. That's the part where there's going to be weakness in that leg, in that knee, and he's going to be favoring it physically and mentally. So there's some hurdles to go, you know, for him to, you know, jump over first before, you know, that's why you see the transformation of the running back getting better as the season goes on.
Yep.
You know, that's my only thing. My thing is, if I'm taking, you know, a guy like that, I don't mind taking a player like that that could be like a second half, you know, hero, but you're taking him in the third round to do that. And when you take a player in the third round, like, I'm looking for him from day one to be productive in my lineup.
Yeah, I'll take a middle of the road approach from both of your answers. I don't think he's a full fade for me, although I do have a lot of reservations based on a lot of the stuff Nelson said, and also the fact that Nelson has him on the fade list makes me a little bit more hesitant to draft him, to be completely honest. But I will say that, like, we see the market adjust so quickly. So the fact that I kind of liked him at like 30th overall, even within the last 5 days to a week, he moves up. So when he starts going at that end of the second round, then you're talking about him versus Tony Pollard, him versus Chris Olave, Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, and the elite quarterbacks in FFPC draft. So it's kind of like, do I want to take a guy that I think could average 20 points per game based on the elite talent he displayed last year? Or do I want to take a guy that has no injuries and is going to produce like a mega stud where that sweet spot right now at that 2-3 turn? So I'm quite kind of in the middle there. Nelson also shared one of his targets, and this is great. And I think Billy's going to love this one. It's Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson, you know, this is a guy that people got a very good discount at a certain time in best ball when there was, you know, some question marks. But he is very much back in Baltimore with a new offensive coordinator. Nelson, your thoughts on Jackson this year?
Yeah, I think he's going to start receiving some steam here. Once, you know, people start, you know, buying in again with the offensive talent that's around him and everything. But I definitely think there's still some players that there's recency bias, and people were burnt by Lamar Jackson last year. He started off on fire. I mean, he was basically the top quarterback, I think, the first few weeks of the season.
He was on pace to smash, like, the first four games were better than his first four in 2019 by a landslide.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, he was great, and then things just fizzled. And what happened was he was doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. And because when you looked at the talent there in Baltimore, and then Greg Roman, his offense kind of got stale. There was really no creativity based on watching the games. It just looked kind of boring what they were trying to do out there. And then you got, you know, Dante Robinson and you know, just these scrub wide receivers.
So, you know, a group of hobos basically playing wide receiver for Baltimore last year.
Yeah, you can't even call them receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was ugly. And I'm like, I don't even know how this guy's supposed to get it done with these guys. And then Bateman got hurt, and, you know, that was all she wrote. Well, you know, now it's 2023. You got Beckham, who, you know, whether you love him or hate him, you know, Beckham's a talented wide receiver. He's recovered from his injury. He knows how to get open. He's a, you know, a professional wide receiver, you know, something you couldn't say last year that they had. Bateman will be back. You still got Mark Andrews there. And I think you have a new voice now at offensive coordinator with Monken. And I think that helps. It just revitalizes everything, the whole offense, the team. So I'm expecting a big year from the Ravens offense this year. So that's why he's a target of mine.
Billy, you bought the dip. You were a couple of weeks back, I remember you said Lamar Jackson was the best value on the board at quarterback, and you're absolutely proven. He's steamed up to QB5 in most places behind Burrow. Where are you at right now with Lamar Jackson with the correction?
Yeah, it's funny because as I go through projections, there's such a tight tier in that quarterback rankings between, in my projections at least, between Burrow, Lamar, and Herbert, and they seemingly seem to always kind of exist in that 4, 5, 6 range. Lamar fell to 6 inside my last update. He went back to 4 in this update. It's that tier separated by like 2 fantasy points, but I'm fully in on the Lamar train. I was excited to play in a few super flex drafts and was able to get him at the back end of round 1 in many of those drafts. And it was like an instant lock. I consistently was buying the dip because I loved the fact they went out and got Monken. He's a run first OC. We knew he was going to continue to utilize Lamar Jackson's legs. We know they went out and got Odell Beckham, which added at least someone else inside the receiving game so they can rely on someone else outside of Andrews. There was a lot of things to like. It was just pretty much the uncertainty of the contract. And from my point of view, is we knew he was going to play. We just didn't know exactly where at the time. So we knew that the talent was going to continue, whether it was going to be on Baltimore, whether it was going to be in Atlanta. You know, I had projected it was Baltimore the whole time. And here we are now. It's rung true, and people are now buying him at where he should have been going the entire time. So I always like to take advantage whenever you have uncertainty like this, especially when you know that you can count on the talent and you can just worry about the situation after the fact, because some players, regardless of where they land, are going to produce, and Lamar Jackson's one of them.
Yeah, I think for me, I have to be on Lamar Jackson because we've seen the truly elite special game-winning weeks multiple times from him. And the difference between him and a Joe Burrow who I really, really like, is Lamar Jackson. They keep saying, you know, they don't want him to run as much. But I think when, you know, the rubber meets the road and the game's on the line, Lamar Jackson ripping off a huge run is always in the game plan. And there's a chance that he could have an outsized number of rushing touchdowns if this offense is very efficient. So I'm with you guys. I think Lamar Jackson's a really, really good value right now. Now let's plant a flag here, fellas. All three of the wide receivers are going in a really, really tight range, and they're all very affordable right now. So between Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, and Odell Beckham, at cost, who are you on right now? We can start with Nelson.
This is not a cop-out. I think all three go at a nice price in the draft. So I think you can pick, you know, a mixture of them and just be able to have exposure to that whole offense. But, you know, gun to head, I'm probably going with Bateman.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head there. And I think that if you're a drafter of Lamar Jackson, you are able to add two wide receivers as a correlation with him. And they're at such an affordable range that, like, you can grab Zay Flowers in the 10th round. And I took Odell in the 11th the other day. Like, you could have those two guys, and you could always take Bateman's going, you know, we're talking FFPC ADP here, a little higher for NFFC, but you can grab two of those guys with Jackson and hope one of them turns into a weekly wide receiver too, which I think is in the range of outcomes. Billy Muzio, where are you at on a Ravens wide receiver?
From projection standpoint, I have Odell Beckham at 18% of the target share. I have Rashad Bateman at 17% of the target share. And I have Zay at 13% of the target share. I think Zay is the odd man out inside of the numbers for me, but I agree with Nelson. If you're drafting multiple teams, you want to interchange them in your builds and you want to have ownership of all three just because it is so tightly knit that you have the ability to do so. That being said, I'm probably picking Bateman just because of the talent and the age. I know he's still coming off injury, but I think he has the talent to shine through here. And I think that Odell will probably gather some attention from the defense, which will open up more lanes for Bateman. And then, of course, we have Andrews as well. So even though I have Bateman projected for, you know, the lower target share, 17 versus the 18, I do think he has the ability to really surpass expectations and to probably get closer to the 1,000-yard mark than any of the other two have the ability to. You know, but I think Odell Beckham probably has more touchdowns. So there's upside and downside to each of these players. I think Bateman at least has the ability to be the number one in this offense.
I think that's it. That's a really, you guys both have really interesting approaches with this. One wide receiver who is not discounted, who's gotten steamed way, way up, and for good reason, in my opinion, is Garrett Wilson. Billy and I can sit this one out because last week, Billy and I dropped an hour and a half plus with Josh Larkey, where we only looked at wide receivers. It was a great episode. I highly recommend everybody check that out. It was fantastic. Nelson, your thoughts on Garrett Wilson, where he's getting drafted. How excited are you about him?
I wouldn't say I'm excited about him. I think I can see why he's going where he's going, which is, you know, second round. In an NFFC draft that I did just the other day, he actually made it to the back end of the first round. Aaron Rodgers is there. He's a talented kid. I totally get it, but I'm probably not going to have too much exposure. He's not a fade, but I'm not going to have too much exposure to him because I am going to take, you know, Amon-Ra, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams. You know, I'd be interested in those guys before I go and you know, fire up Garrett Wilson over A.J. Brown, you know, guys like that. What was this hour and a half show that you guys did with Larkey? What was the consensus, or was
I was on an island with you, Nelson?
Okay. Larkey and I both really like Garrett Wilson at his ADP a lot more than Billy does, and we made a more of a bull argument. I want to follow up on one thing you said though, Nelson. One guy that Larkey and Billy were both negative on is Davante Adams. Do you have fear of the Jimmy Garoppolo situation with Adams, or is he such a target vacuum that you think he's a little bit quarterback averse right now?
No, he's just too good of a player. Josh McDaniels knows how to, you know, scheme him open, get targets to him. And Garoppolo's not, you know, he's not any worse than Derek Carr as a quarterback and being able to process the field and get the ball to him. So I'm not really worried about that.
Billy,
I'm not doing the clapping for that one.
Don't, yeah, Billy's Billy's like steaming right now. He's like going to be really mad about that response. But I want to, get from each of you guys, Billy, who's a breakout player that you're looking at? You know, when I say breakout player, to me, it's a player with some unknown upside that's going to have his best fantasy season this year that we haven't seen from him in the past. It might be a second year guy, might be a third or fourth year guy that just hasn't broken through. Give us a breakout player, Billy, somebody you're really, really excited on. I know Chris Olave is one of them. You can kind of quickly share your thoughts on him and maybe give another one.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on Olave just because I've talked about him so much. I've been talking about Rondale Moore a lot as well, so I think I'll focus in that area. Especially with the departure of DeAndre Hopkins, that opens up roughly 23% of the target share. It's a lot of targets inside this offense. We know this offense is going to be bad. They're going to be playing from behind. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot, and they're going to have an inexperienced quarterback in the beginning of the season to be determined how long. Inexperienced quarterbacks usually favor the slot receiver, usually favor the running back and dump offs, usually favor the tight end. So that's going to benefit Rondale Moore directly, who is consistently catching balls behind the line of scrimmage and in the short intermediate area of the field. Even at a lower than expected pass rate compared to other years, Rondale Moore still comes in my projections at an 18% target share, which is 107 targets inside this offense. And we look at the raw numbers just based upon what he's done historically, and health has been his major concern. But when on the field, he has been able to, you know, garner separation because he's running such short routes, which is going to also allow him to get the ball from an experienced quarterback. And so I do have him projected for, you know, modest 705 receiving yards, which is 5.8 touchdowns. It's nothing outstanding, but if you look at where he's going in terms of cost and where he comes in the projections, in my projections, he comes in as wide receiver number, where'd he move here? Wide receiver 42. And you can have him. I mean, he's starting to climb in drafts finally, but he was going as late as like wide receiver 60, 65 in some drafts. And we knew that DeAndre Hopkins was on the move. Again, this is one of those things I talk about where you take advantage of uncertainty, because you can gamble and say DeAndre Hopkins was most likely on the move. So we know that we're going to see a bump in production from all of these pass catchers, whether it's Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore, Trey McBride, even James Conner. And so take advantage of that uncertainty and cash in on it once it actually happens. And I think Rondale Moore is going to do that this year.
I took Rondale Moore at the 14-11 in a Football Guys this week. So it's like, I love when players like Billy and Nelson make me feel good about my selection. So 14-11, you made me feel really good about that pick, Billy. And I'll say for me, I still can't get over how low the market is treating Treylon Burks, which is a player that people were more excited to take last year than they are this year. And this year, he has all of the target share ahead of him. We have question marks about the offense, but there's nobody going in his range of the draft with a potential higher target share, in as my opinion, than Treylon Burks. He's going as wide receiver 34 on FFPC. I think he's wide receiver 39 on Underdog. And I took him at the 702 the other night. I think that ADP is going to rise up in FFPC. I think by like the time we draft in main events, I bet you he's going closer to the 601 than the 702. But for me, it's like he seems like the kind of guy that people would be more excited to draft based on the draft capital, based on how we treated him last year. So for me, at his cost right now, he's definitely a breakout for me. Nelson, any thoughts on Moore and Burks? And then give us a breakout guy on that you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Moore, but my strategy this year, just based on how I'm going to draft, Moore's probably not going to enter the equation too often with the way I'm building my teams, because I'm going to be going mostly wide receiver heavy at the beginning of the draft. So where he's going, I'm not really going to be looking at wide receiver anymore. I'm going to be pretty much, you know, done at that position. But I like Rondell Moore. And then Treylon Burks is a target of mine. So he's definitely a guy that I'm interested in this year. And I think the one guy that, you know, I can't get over, and I'm going to be back in on him this year, is going to be Kadarius Toney. Unless Hopkins signs with Kansas City, Tony's definitely going to be part of my plans this year.
I love hearing that, Nelson, because that's been a polarizing situation for drafters. Last night on the GOAT District, Mark Garcia, aka Hilo, is also a super sharp guy from the 33rd team. He's huge on Tony as well. Me and you drafted a little bit of Tony last year together, Nelson. So it's like, it's great to see those guys, you going back to the well, even after a disappointing year. But I think the interesting thing about Tony is he has a healthy offseason, and he also is in a situation where a team really likes him, as opposed to last year where he was unhealthy and like the organization kind of hated him. So it's write that one down, everybody. There's some sharp money right now on Kadarius Toney. One player who was much like Tony was a second-year wide receiver last year that really, really let a lot of people down was Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore finds himself in Cleveland. There's a little bit of buzz this week. I may have contributed to the buzz by tweeting out a video of him catching a ball and getting hyped about him and Watson. I'm part of the hype train, guys. But I want to get your opinion on Elijah Moore. I still have a ton of Elijah Moore in Dynasty. I love the talent. I drafted him last year. I want to be back on it this year. Where are you at, Nelson?
He just feels like he's going to be one of those hype guys that's just going to gain steam as the draft season goes. And I'm probably just not going to be interested in him where he's going to end up in drafts. One thing that I've learned through the years is to stay grounded during these OTAs. I mean, they're glorified 7-on-7s with, you know, you're in shorts and cleats, and it's just a whole different ball game. You know, it's practice. You don't need to get too crazy. It's amazing though, to see guys where they go in drafts just based on like day to day with, you know, on Twitter, and you see a video and all of a sudden this is like the new guy that, you know, everyone's got to have. They're falling all over, tripping over each other, trying to draft this guy who can draft them, you know, quicker. So those kind of guys, you got to remain grounded on and just realize that, listen, it's just practice. It's just OTAs. It's a new offense that he's going to. I do like Elijah Moore. With that said, I think he's a talented kid, but I do think that offense, you know, it's Amari Cooper with Watson and then everyone else kind of sprinkled in, and then, you know, don't forget about Chubb. So, you know, where he's probably going to end up, I'm just going to guess that right now, where's Elijah going? Like eighth round in drafts?
I didn't check the last few days, but I believe it's going to I agree with you. It's going to steam up. He seems like the kind of guy that's going to be a seventh round pick in the NFFC and probably an eighth round pick in the FFPC. Billy, would you kind of agree that's where he's headed?
Yeah, we're seeing the ADP just climb, and I agree with Nelson. I'm out at cost right now. I haven't really particularly been high on a lot of Brown players outside of Chubb. I think Chubb's in for a monster season, but I'm not really crazy about any of the receiving options just because I have concerns with you know, Watson and what this offense is going to look like here in 2023. In terms of Elijah Moore in particular, like, Peoples Jones is still there. It's not like he was just scrub last year. Like, Peoples Jones was actually pretty active on the field and had some surprisingly good stats. I mean, he was like wide receiver 30 to 35 consistently every single week. And it's not as if he's just going to disappear. So we know he's still going to be involved in the offense. You know, they still have a talented tight end. They still have Chubb. They still have Amari Cooper. So there's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. And I just don't think that Elijah Moore ADP justifies the cost and where you're able to get him in drafts and what you can get elsewhere.
Shout out to Dan Williamson, who's in the chat. He'll be on First Class Fantasy next week with Andrew Cooper when we do a tight end special, which is going to be a lot of fun. Guys, I want to keep this thing going. We have DeAndre Hopkins' situation out there, a player that we're very excited about. I know Billy and Nelson, you guys both love the player. I love the player as well. Where will we be on DeAndre Hopkins if he lands with Kansas City? And where will we be with DeAndre Hopkins if he lands with Buffalo? There's some reports out today saying that Buffalo will not pay him what Baltimore paid Odell. I don't know if we put any weight to that, but let's say these two teams are the teams that seem like the likely destinations for a guy chasing a ring. Where will you consider DeAndre Hopkins if he is a Kansas City Chief? Start on that one, Nelson.
I think he's going where he belongs if he lands with either team, which is, you know, the draft that I did just the other day, he went in the third round. And I think consistently he's probably fourth round FFPC.
Yeah, that's about right.
He's been climbing, but yes.
That's probably where he needs to be if he lands with either team. I still think that with Kansas City, Kelsey's still the number one. But there's enough targets to for Hopkins to pay off that price tag. And in Buffalo, Diggs is still going to be the number one. But again, there's enough balls to go around that, you know, he can pay off that price tag. So either way, I would still, you know, be interested in Hopkins. But I think there's no discount right now. I think he's getting drafted where he probably, you know, should be.
Similar range for both landing spots based on the quality of the offense. Is that safe to say, Nelson?
That's how I'm looking at it.
Billy, is there an offense you prefer for D-Hops to land in of those two?
Yeah, it'd be Kansas City. There's a lot more, you know, uncertainty of the position. You know, Tony, as talented as he is, let's all face it, we know that he could pull a hamstring next week and be out during camp and miss the first 2 weeks of the season and then have this lingering issue and come in and have explosive games and then, you know, retweak. And so I love Tony as a player and as a talent, but his injury rep, you know, his injuries have me very concerned in terms of season long ability. If we were to see Hopkins in Kansas City, I think it's very clear he'd be the 1B. I don't think we could classify him as the 2. I think that him and Kelsey would probably split that role pretty evenly in terms of target share. We're probably talking, you know, 22-23% of target share for DeAndre Hopkins, maybe slightly more. It's going to be the other receivers that are going to be completely out now at that point. I think that Hopkins right now, ADP, if he lands in Kansas City, would probably be floor. I think if it happened, we'll probably see him climb into that 2-3 turn pretty consistently in the earlier part of that turn, so the end of 2. But I think that people right now are, again, just not drafting him based on the uncertainty. His ADP has rose because he's no longer in Arizona and because now his upside has potential for more, but I don't think that his ADP has seen the ceiling yet.
Now I'm curious, sorry, Theo, just
no,
to follow to Billy's, what is it that you see that would be like a detriment or a negative if he landed in Buffalo?
It's not that it's a negative, but in terms of expected pass rate, like Kansas City for me is projected to have the second most pass attempts inside the NFL behind the Chargers inside my projections. So I haven't projected for 650 pass attempts, where Buffalo is 600. So it's only a difference of 50 attempts in projections, but still it goes a long ways, and it could be less, it could be more, but I do think that Kansas City is going to be more pass heavy, which in turn will give Hopkins more chances to be successful for more touchdowns, whatever it may be. And so it is a slight dip in the number, but it's, you know, nearly, 7.5% more attempts in Kansas City. And so just from a pure number projection standpoint, I tend to go with the more pass heavy team.
Yeah, I'll say that I would be more excited to have him if he was a Kansas City Chief, slightly more than Buffalo. I'm kind of with Billy on this one. I see where Nelson, like the counter argument is kind of he's such a great player, such a commanding presence that it wouldn't really matter. He's on a great offense either way. But I think for me, it would be that there's more of a threat with Josh Allen. I know they want to get away from it, but there's always a chance that it could be a Josh Allen mega touchdown year on the ground. It just isn't. It's always in the range of outcomes with Buffalo, where we don't have to worry about that with Mahomes. I think that Hopkins could be a little bit more efficient in the red zone. But like Nelson said, I'd like to have him with either team. And Nelson, if he gets up to that range where he's in the 2-3 turn, would you probably be out on that if he steams up that hard?
No, I would still draft him there. I just think that, you know, he's going in the range that there's no like heavy, steep discount right now in drafts. Correct. And, you know, sometimes you see that where, you know, there's a relative unknown, like, you know, for example, like Dalvin Cook, yep. You know, I think right now there's unknown, even though he is on a team, but everyone's expecting that he's going to get released. And then it's kind of like, okay, it's a game of musical chairs. Where, you know, where's he going to go? There's bodies everywhere in the running back seats on every team. So if Dalvin goes somewhere, he's going to have face some type of stiff competition for touches. So he's going at a heavy discount. But what if he just stays in Minnesota, you know? And not to get off subject, but I'm just that's an example where I think Dalvin would probably move up a few rounds if he was to stay in Minnesota. So, you know, with Hopkins, that's how I'm looking at it. I'm just seeing like there's really no discount. So even if he moves up a few spots, you know, I'd still be interested in Hopkins. I didn't see last year when he came back from his suspension, I didn't see any, he looked like the Hopkins of old. There was nothing that showed that he was dropping off at all.
Yeah, we had some DeAndre Hopkins, Nelson, and NFFC. And another player that we had rostered on our New York Super team was Travis Etienne. This is more of a general question for both of you. There's been like a little bit of steam with Tank Bigsby, like a little bit of a drip, kind of a news drip where Tank Bigsby is going to have a weekly role. There's some apprehension with Etienne, not a whole lot. He's still getting drafted about the same way. But what are your expectations for Etienne? And a follow-up is, how do you react to off-season news, Nelson? How do you sift through it and decide what's real, what's actionable, and what is just fluff, fill-in stuff for Twitter?
That's a good question. Well, to answer the first part with ETN and Bigsby, I'm definitely a pro ETN guy, and I think he's a very talented player. So I would like to say that I don't really worry too much about Bigsby. But I mean that's just the trend in the NFL. The trend in the NFL is, you know, get multiple backs involved in the offense, take some of the workload off of, you know, just one, not having just one guy with a huge workload. So I think that's expected. I think, you know, Bigsby coming in, you know, that's kind of what it was last year, you know, when they had, you know, a couple of guys that were mixing in, but it was basically Hasty, right? Jermichael Hasty, that was, you know, giving ETN a breather here and there and stuff. So, you know, where ETN goes, he goes like third round. Again, it's all about structure. Where he's going, I'm probably not going to, as much as I like the player, I'm probably not going to have too much exposure to him. So does that answer your question as far as like that situation?
And for sure. And just sort of follow up, how do you react to like news in general? Like, are you looking for like a slow drip where it's a steady drumbeat of the same thing? Or are there certain beat writers you respect more? I mean, how do you approach it, Nelson?
I've learned that this time during the season, there's a lot of hype. I think there's a lot of beat reporters out there that they're reporting what they're seeing, and which is fine. But I think there's, you know, there's too much hype, and I just don't go for it these days. You know, I'm looking more of, you know, just stay even keel. You know, you got to stay grounded, and not, you know, fall in love with, you know, a certain player and he's getting hyped up, you know, in the off season, because, you know, things change. And for me, I'm looking for more of like, it's good to see, it's a positive. But I don't think that if we look back and we were to do like a study on all the reports from beat reporters and everything, I would say there's more misses than hits on what came to fruition when, you know, they were hyping up certain players. I think what ends up happening is those players get overdrafted and they end up having, you know, a disappointing season for what we were expecting. It sets false expectations.
I think that's a great answer, Nelson. I think that it's also, we're at a time where reactions are much more quick. Information is dropped much more quick, and we have a lot more sources of information than we did 10 years ago, not even close. But I do think that there's once in a while during the summer where if there's a continual drip and a continual hype and you're hearing it from coaches and media, then I kind of pay attention. I think about the year that Michael Thomas had all the steam from Sean Payton, from the beat writers, and he became such a value, and then he actually produced. So I think that's like, again, I think most of it's nonsense, but I think occasionally I try to listen when it seems like it's coming from all sides. Billy, your thoughts on how we should react to this time of year, the news drip, the hype machine, the Theo tweets showing a guy catching the ball in shorts?
Yeah, I'm more on Nelson's side here. I tend to just try to fade out the noise and just, I do though, on to your point, if it's coming from every angle, then sure, we have to pay attention. But if like, the 7-on-7, one catch across the middle with no linebacker there to hit him, I mean, come on. I'm not watching those videos and moving a guy up half a round in my projections because he caught a pass with nobody guarding him. And so I think we have to take all that with a grain of salt. In terms of Travis Etienne, I think he's probably going slightly ahead of where I would like to draft him. Not much, but just maybe ever so slightly, maybe half a round. I do think that, you know, he's going to be the number one back in this offense, but it's the lack of involvement in the passing game, which is what we thought he was going to be, kind of the focal point for this offense when they drafted him. And I would expected him to be closer to like a 10 to 12% target share kind of guy when he came out of college. And it just hasn't, we just didn't see it last year. Like, we only saw 45 targets. I would have liked to have seen closer to like 60 to 65 from him. And I think in order for him to, you know, remain value or to regain value on that, you're going to want to see him closer to that mark, especially because he averaged over 5 yards a carry last year. We're probably expecting that to dip slightly. So he's going to lose some efficiency inside the running game. He has some competition now inside the running game. So there's a few red flags and you just can't ignore. Don't get me wrong, I like the player, I like the talent, but when all these things are kind of pointing to the possibility of him being slightly overdrafted, you have to pay attention. And so I think that Travis Etienne is slightly overvalued right now for me.
Follow up here, guys. Neither one of you said anything over here about Tank Bigsby, but I want to stay on backup running backs. is there a particular backup running back that you think is very attractive at cost, or a guy that you just want exposure to because maybe you doubt the starter? Start with Nelson on this one. I'll give you guys mine. The backup running back that I find myself wanting to draft and have exposure to is Jalen Warren. I've talked about him earlier on the show. I want to have Jalen Warren. I think Najee Harris has been very fortunate with the games he's played versus missing games. And I think that Jalen Warren to me would be somewhat of a like for like replacement with a coach that always gets a lot out of his RB1 historically. Jalen Warren's a second year guy. He made the team last year as an undrafted free agent and earned a role, which kind of speaks volumes to his talent, in my opinion. So Jalen Warren would be my flag plant handcuff running back. Nelson, is there a handcuff running back or even a third stringer that you're really, really intrigued by?
Malik Davis with the Dallas Cowboys. That's the guy that I'm interested in. If they don't bring anyone, in from here to training camp, I'm probably just going to end up drafting him every draft. And it's not so much that I don't believe in Pollard. It's just that when that kid got a chance to play, he flashed to me. And I think that will speak volumes if Jerry Jones doesn't go and bring in like a veteran running back and they leave the running back room alone the way it is. That probably is a vote of confidence for Malik Davis. And, Pollard is, you never know. I think Davis will have a role week to week because they're not just going to hand Pollard, this like Derrick Henry, type of volume. So I think he'll be productive. But if there was a Pollard injury, I think he's got the juice to be, pretty productive in that offense.
I love that. Mark Garcia Hilo was also on Malik Davis. And I know just to show how thorough Nelson is with his waivers, Malik Davis made your waiver wire watch list last year too, yeah. Which was pretty cool. Billy, give us a handcuff that you're excited about.
I feel like it's cheating, but it's Jamal Williams. When you look at the upcoming suspension that's most likely going to happen for Alvin Kamara, it's going to really condense this overall rushing share of this backfield. And we saw the success that he had in Detroit, and I don't expect it to be anywhere near that amount of success. But we are probably talking about 40 to 50% of the rush share once Alvin Kamara is suspended. And that's going to open up a lot of opportunity for him. It goes from a 3.5 headed monster, like currently, where you have Kamara, Jamal Williams, Kendra Miller, and Taysom Hill all involved in the running game, to just being Jamal Williams, a rookie Kendra Miller, and Taysom Hill. So I think it's going to open up a lot of chances for him to capture on. And we know that he's involved inside the passing game a little bit. He's been very reliable in the red zone. I think that he's going to definitely, as Nelson said, kind of Dalvin Cook thing, it's going to jump ADP significantly once we have some clarity on Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I like that one a lot, Billy. Wanted to keep this running back conversation going. Last year, we saw an impressive amount of hits, like big time hits, out of the low end RB2s and especially the RB3s. Ramondre Stevenson, who at the end of the summer, I guess you could have called him, he snuck into the top 24, but he was an RB3 for most of the summer. Tony Pollard, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, all of those guys smashed all of, a few of those guys helped people win leagues. Are there any low end RB2s, RB3s, and even RB4s that you guys are really, really, really excited about? Start with Nelson.
So when you say like RB2s, you're talking about like draft guys, one, ADP yeah. wise, not on their team.
So, yeah, no. Yeah. Like, we could start with somebody. Like, yeah.
Like yeah, RB13 or 24?
No, RB, yeah, I'd say RB 24, RB 24 on.
Getting drafted.
Like low end.
Yeah. Cam Akers, Isaiah Pacheco, DeAndre Swift, Rashard White, those are all guys that are of interest to me, just based on where they're going in drafts. Miles Sanders, Brian Robinson, those are kind of some of the guys off the top of my head that I would be interested in, especially in a structure where you're going like wide receiver heavy, elite quarterback or elite tight end.
Nelson, pick one: Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson.
Robinson, hands down.
I love your conviction on that, Nelson. We both like Antonio Gibson on the show. Maybe you could elaborate just a little bit on why Robinson. Is it the Eric Bieniemy, or is it the market just being a little low on Robinson? Is it year two? What is it for you?
It's the 20 touches for 40 yards.
Yeah, I mean, he came off. I mean, for him to even make the football field after what he went through, yeah. I kind of give him a pass as far as his overall production. To me, what spoke volumes was just the coaching staff, trusting him, and Gibson at the end of the day just failing, and it's now been a couple of years in a row where I hate the label of injury prone, but I don't like using that word. But like some guys just get dinged up, man, just all the time. They just have problems with staying healthy, and I think the coaching staff, probably is a little bit salty with Gibson and him being always banged up. I think he's a really talented kid, but I think they trust Robinson. So where, I got him 10th round in a draft, which is probably, I'm not sure on ADP, but I know Gibson went a couple of rounds before him. So yeah, give me Robinson in the 10th round instead of Gibson in the 8th.
I love a lot of the running backs you listed, Nelson, especially for your style of drafting, where a lot of times you can go wide receiver start and make up for it with some of these guys. Billy and I have been on Rashad White. Billy's on Cam Akers. I'm higher on DeAndre Swift than Billy. Miles Sanders is an interesting one. Billy, want to maybe your share your a couple of guys that you're into.
He mentioned most of the names. I mean, I love the Cam Akers. I don't think he listed David Montgomery, who I do like at that range. I have him as RB 26 in my rankings, playing behind arguably one of the best lines, if not the best line of football right now. Isaiah Pacheco is another name as well he mentioned. I actually have Brian Robinson in this area as well. It's just I have Gibson there as well. You could throw in Dalvin Cook in this conversation because he's been going in this area as well, and I think he'll probably outperform. Rashad White, Dobbins has actually been climbing, but has been going in this area as another one a year removed from injury, who was explosive even with that hitch in his run down the stretch.
He's a great bounce back one.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I love his cost and ADP and Monken, the run first offense. You have Lamar back who's going to open up lanes. So Dobbins is one of my primary targets in this range. So a lot of the similar names here, I'm going to throw out just a random name who's going a little bit later, but can also be included here. And that's Smai Perine, just because of the, amount of opportunities he's going to have to start the season with Javonte recovering from that gruesome knee injury. So a lot of the same names as Nelson though.
Yeah. I'll say one name that I'd like to throw in there that's actually being drafted outside of running back two land, kind of a high end RB3 right now, is James Conner. The last two seasons he's finished as running back 7 and running back 9 in points per game. Right now he's going like running back 27, 28, 29. It's going to be an ugly offense, but he's going to get so much volume, and he also has a receiving upside in that offense. So I'm in on Connor. I think the Arizona Cardinals are so beat up that there's going to be a few discounts just based on the fact that nobody wants to draft those guys, and there's a lot of fear of that. The last question I want to get in for Nelson is, last year, Jacksonville made major strides and propelled several ADP wins. Miami did the same. There was a number of Seattle had a bunch of ADP wins based on just the offense overperforming. Is there an offense that could break out this upcoming season that could propel multiple players to ADP wins? We've asked a lot of analysts this question, and we've had some interesting responses. I'm wondering if there's one you have an eye on.
Yeah, I'm high on the Giants. I have Saquon as my number one ranked running back in fantasy.
Write it down, everybody. Write this down, everyone. Nelson just gave away a huge one. I love that, Nelson. Keep going.
I have Waller pretty high up. I'm a fan of his. And I think Daniel Jones, for the most part, again, I'm drafting one of those early quarterbacks. Some of the guys that we talked about, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Hurts, I'm interested in any of those guys, but I think Daniel Jones is definitely a guy right after that second tier of the quarterbacks goes. I think he's the guy that with his running ability and second year in the Dable offense, I think you're going to see, especially with a little more talent now surrounding him. Hopefully Wandale Robinson is healthy. I think you're going to see where Daniel Jones could, you know, propel himself as like, you know, a top quarterback and finish like, I mean, he has the talent and the offensive coordinator in the system to finish as like a top five QB. I'm not going crazy saying that that's what he's going to do because he's got to beat out a lot of talented quarterbacks, but I think he's got the potential for it.
I love that, Nelson. And you mentioned Wandale. Is that the wide receiver you would target if you're going to draft a Giants wide receiver?
I like Slayton also. I think we're a year away on Hyatt. So I wouldn't worry too much about him. You know, it's probably between those two guys that I'd be interested in, but I'm mostly interested in Saquon and Waller.
I love it. I love the answer. Nelson, let everybody know where they can find you and the work you're having coming out.
At FTN Fantasy. I have my rankings up right now. I have a cheat sheet to help you draft with. I have my fade list up and currently working on a targets list. And I'll have for best ball, I'll have a undervalued list of players. Just, you know, little pockets of value that I see in underdog, you know, best ball drafts and things like that. So you can go over to FTN Fantasy for that.
Billy, what do you have coming up on the Dominator tomorrow?
Dominator, Matt's back in town. We're doing the Dominator draft. And we did the yesterday man versus machine. We recorded with Dario. We went over the NFC South projections. So we're moving just division by division. So each week we'll talk about a different division. We'll talk about the projections for those teams for all the fantasy relevant players. You can catch it on YouTube.
And then you can find Billy and I. We will both be popping into the FFPC stream. We will both retweet it from our accounts. Highly recommend you guys check out the Hardway Draft tonight. It's usually some very beneficial, flag plants from some of the best players in the games. Nelson, you were super, super generous with your information and your knowledge. Everybody follow the franchise. Everybody consider subscribing to his work. Billy and I will be back next week on First Class Fantasy for a tight end episode. If you like the Josh Larkey episode, you're going to love Andrew Cooper. Andrew Cooper is the Matt Harmon of tight ends. He's fantastic from Fantasy Alarm. And Dan Williamson is one of the best tight end drafters in the high stakes streets at the FFPC. He's the tight end whisperer. So we're back next week. Everybody have an awesome rest of your day and stick with us all off season.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.